Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 21, Deconstruction. With all due respect, Princess Celestia, how could you bring discord here? Sin. What is sin, really? Is it some all-powerful evil that corrupts a pony's soul, or is it something far simpler? We all know of sin as our transgressions against others, but what of those sins that are so foul they even carry names? Lust, greed, gluttony, wrath, pride, sloth, and envy. I looked into the hearts and memories of the seven who carried these names, and found that while their sins were great, the creatures behind them were just like any other normal being. They lived, they loved, they laughed, and hated, and they sinned. They each became forces of great power in the broken city of Chickercold. But yet, somehow, some of them remembered who they were and what it meant to be cleansed of their sins. I sometimes wonder what would have happened to the ponies during the war if they had remembered their own sins and sought forgiveness. Would we still have ended up with this hellish land we call home? Or would ponykind have taken a different route and looked for peace with the zebras? I think about Twilight and about her own sins. The mare who would one day rest in the goddess, watching helplessly as her own progeny spilled innocent blood in the name of unity. What would have happened to her and Spark? Would I even be here to tell this tale? I slumped to my haunches in utter defeat. Despite everything I had struggled for, I had failed once more. I looked up at the space where Lucky and Spark had been. I couldn't even begin to form words over what had happened. The being that had left us was Spark, given physical form, the element of magic herself unleashed upon the wasteland. I thought about the riddle she had left. Finding her where it all began? What did she mean by that? Where was she going? What were her plans? My mind swam with these thoughts and more. The reality of Lucky's sacrifice weighed heavy on my heart. Why did she have to do that? She deserved better. She deserved to live her own life, not one twisted by the corrupted element. I hung my head low, tears flowing freely as I struggled to figure out what to do next. Thankfully, a groan from nearby stole my attention away. I looked over at Pride. The dark Alicorn's eyes were flittering open as she tried to push herself up. I shook my tears away and stood. I strode over to the mare, towering over her as her gaze drifted upwards. Her eyes, once filled with contempt and hatred, were now filled with fear. I felt Violet step up next to me, her hoof resting on my shoulder blade. "Please," the Alicorn at my feet whispered. The others had gathered around me. I stole a glance at Patch and Steeljack. The two were supporting each other, but they appeared to be fine otherwise. Nixis and Danish stood next to them, the cream-colored unicorn sporting a worried smile on his face. Beyond them, Cranky and Lilith sat apart from the group. They were conversing quietly, keeping their eyes on Pride at all times.
"Pride," I said.
I shook my head, forcing myself to focus on the situation. There would be time for dealing with Spark later. First, I had to deal with the here and now.
"Please,"
the mare said quietly. She cowered beneath me, shivering as she tried to scramble away.
"I never meant..."
I dropped to my haunches immediately, realizing that I had somehow succeeded inside Pride's mind. I had managed to dispel whatever was inside of her. Was it completely gone now? I let my cold expression fall, a soft smile emerging upon my lips.
"Hey, Diamond, right?"
I said. The man nodded slowly.
I never meant to hurt anyone. I only wanted..."
she said quietly.
"You only wanted to help,"
a grating voice said from behind me. Cranky had finally taken interest in the situation. Lilith stood at his side. Diamond's eyes went wide.
"No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry,"
she said.
"Please, it was that thing."
"Thing?" Lilith said, cocking her head.
"What thing?" "There was something inside of those statues, wasn't there, Diamond?"
I said.
something that made you do those things?"
Diamond nodded again silently.
It told me that I was serving a greater purpose, that I was going to be the queen that the world needed," she said. "First it was just pushed, suggested and prodded, but then it took over. I was always in the background after that, watching as it took your only friends away from you," I said. I saw your memory and I felt that thing inside your head. But you beat it, Diamond. You did. I felt your power. You had it in you all along."
"That means I'm responsible," Diamond replied.
"I let her do those terrible, horrific things. I let her destroy my friends. I deserve whatever punishment you have to exact over me."
Silence filled the air. I looked up at Lilith and Cranky. The ancient ghoul nodded slowly. I smiled and turned back, reaching out a hoof. I rested it on Diamond's shoulder, causing her to shiver at my touch.
"I'm not... No, we are not going to punish you, Diamond. You deserve better. You deserve a second chance, just like every pony else does," I said. "And you can start by helping us. Where are the statues?"
"What do you..." the Alicorn asked.
"Why do you need to know where they are?"
"Because I intend to get rid of them. They're dangerous and whatever is inside of them should be destroyed,"
I proclaimed. I stood.
"Now then, will you help us?"
Diamond looked away for a few moments and then nodded shakily.
"You have to understand, I never meant to hurt any pony,"
she said quietly as she pulled herself up into a standing position. I smiled softly.
"I know you didn't, and now I'm going to help you end it," I said. "For you and for your friends."
Diamond hung her head and finally tossed her head at a corner of the room.
"Follow me,"
she said. She trotted past the others, struggling to not look at them as she moved towards the far stone wall. I followed behind her, Violet right next to me. She looked up at me with concern in her eyes.
"Star, what happened to you?" she said. "What happened to Spark?"
"Lucky, she let Spark merge with her. That thing you saw was them," I said. "She's gone, though. The plan still stands. Deal with Pride, deal with Spark."
"Sure, love. That's for the future, and I'm with you all the way. But what happens now?"
Violet asked, leaning warmly against my flank.
"We'll destroy the statues and get the hell out of this place, regroup somewhere safe, and then try and figure out where to go next," I said quietly.
The far wall opened silently at Diamond's approach, revealing a great hall lined in stone. Diamond plodded down it, glancing back occasionally as if to make sure we were still there.
"It's not far," she said.
I smiled reassuringly at her and glanced back at the others.
"All right, you guys keep watch. Violet and Lilith, you're with us," I said.
The two mares nodded as the others moved back down the hall to keep watch. The four of us rounded the next corner, the flames of the torches giving way to an unholy blue light. In the center of the small chamber was a large pedestal. Arranged on top of the stone were seven statues. Earth Pony, Pegasus, Unicorn, Donkey, Minotaur, Zebra, and Alicorn. They glowed brightly in the darkness, pulsing with energy as we drew near. It felt like they were waiting for us. As we stepped forward, I felt the air grow cold. I glanced over at Diamond. She waited with anticipation over what was to come.
"I'm going to need your help for this, Diamond. Violet, you too," I said. "If something goes wrong, I want you to take Thunderflash and melt them into slag."
Violet nodded, levitating out her beam rifle.
"Diamond, you and I are going to try and trap these things inside the statues."
"How are we supposed to do that?"
Diamond replied. I grinned widely.
"Trust me," I said. "We can do it."
I looked down at the statues. I knew that whatever the thing was, it was dangerous. Before I could do anything, I felt a hoof on my shoulder. I glanced back, seeing Diamond.
Thank you. I don't know why you're doing this. I don't deserve this," she said.
I smiled softly. From beside the Alicorn, Lilith appeared.
"Diamond," the black mare said. "None of us is blaming you, but you have to fix this. I've accepted that Cutter is long gone, but we can't let his death be in vain. You can do this."
Diamond shuddered as Lilith reached out, pulling her into a hug.
But I took him away from you. I was so selfish, she said.
The Pegasus smiled softly.
You were, but that's the best thing about second chances. Every pony deserves them.
Lilith replied, glancing over at me and winking. I smiled knowingly. I knew it was a good idea to bring Lilith along. Diamond nodded in silence before turning back to me.
Okay, I'm ready, I guess. What do we do?
She asked.
Focus your magic on the statues. I'll be right here with you and we'll try to snare it. We'll force it back in and then lock up the statues for good, I said.
Diamond nodded and began to flare her horn. I joined in, focusing on the pedestal and the statues. The energy between us intensified and I felt a tug in the back of my mind. I found myself hearing Diamond's thoughts. As expected, the mare was terrified of what she had done. I tried to push a smile at her, projecting my own thoughts to let her know that everything was going to work out in the end. Diamond looked back at me, her eyes and horn glowing with magic and determination. A darkness curled between us, suddenly a wisp of black energy from the statues. I growled under my breath and a soft chuckle stroked the fringes of my and Diamond's shared mind.
Well, you shouldn't waste any time, did you, Diamond?
The dark voice echoed through our minds.
And as you've brought your new friend to such a delectable little place as she is. Now then, be a good girl and let me back in. You still have plenty of unfinished work to do.
No,
I heard Diamond's voice in my head shout.
I won't give in to you. You make me do horrible things to my friends, to so many others.
If I recall correctly, my little pony, you gave in to me quite readily. You accepted your place in life as my servant.
The voice replied.
She's not yours anymore,
I interrupted, packing all the disdain I could into my voice.
She's her own pony, free, just like she was meant to be.
The so-called ministry finally speaks. You know, I knew the real Twilight Sparkle once. You are nothing compared to her,
the voice said.
As for the other, she's nothing more than a pawn, a means to an end.
You're wrong,
I thought. I was beginning to get seriously annoyed with this thing's insistence. Diamond was silent. That couldn't be good.
Oh, am I now? I'm pretty sure that she was my willing slave,
the voice said.
Besides, she will never find any pony like me.
I'm her friend,
I thought.
She has me, and even after your foul influence, she has Lilith and the others.
Pish,
the voice replied, chuckling madly.
If you're so willing to be her friend, why not take her place then? It's a sacrifice your broken green friend made for you.
Never,
I thought.
I'm fine right where I am.
Oh, but I will have you. I will have all of you in the end. I am your worst nightmare, Radiant Star.
The voice growled.
I don't care what you are. I'm going to put you back where you belong so no pony else will ever find you.
I thought angrily, focusing my magic on the statues. Through the haze of power pouring from myself and Diamond, I saw a deep blue smoke pouring from the statues. The smoke coiled into the ground and bulked into a massive cloud of pure threat. I drew breath to redouble my efforts, but was shocked into a gasp when the cloud puffed into a pony-shaped form.
Have it your way, Ministry Mare. I will show you true power.
The voice said as the form stepped delicately out of the last wisps of smoke. It was a tall, slender alicorn mare with a coat of dark blue smoke. Shadows played across her coat with the flexing of her legs. Her eyes shut open, revealing snake-like orbs glowing with arcane power. The thing's wings flared open as it dove towards Diamond and I. Violet snarled, firing a blast of silver fire at the vaguely pony-esque thing. The fire passed through the thing as if it wasn't even there.
Chit! My fire passes right through it!
The green mare shouted as she pulled Thunderflash back to her. The close quarters meant that any other fire was likely to hit some pony else. The creature landed on the pedestal with a crash, slamming into Diamond. The blue mare hit the ground hard, grunting in pain as her horns buttered out. I spun around, lashing out with a forehoof. The dark creature turned, blocking my strike and sending me sliding back into the dark stone hall. I groaned as I came to a halt. My own magic dissipated and I felt my grip on the statues loosen.
Well, radiant star, do you wish to give in to become one with the darkness, become one with the nightmare?
The monster shouted as it stalked towards me.
Never!
I called back, pushing myself off the ground. The dark pony-shaped monster chuckled.
Your friends will die this day,
it said.
When I stand before you on a pile of sarcophagus, when all that is left is me, you will. You will join with me and I will wreak my justice, terrible vengeance on the pathetic pony race.
You're very melodramatic, you know that, right?
I quipped. Where was Diamond? Why hadn't she joined me yet? I needed her help to contain this thing. I wasn't feeling too good about my chances of pulling it off on my own.
So tell me something. What are you really?
What am I? I am the thing that feeds on your despair. I am a creature forged in the blackest of nights.
The thing crowed.
Yep, definitely heavily on the melodramatic side.
I thought as the creature actually posed, flaring its wings and rearing.
And I am your eternal queen.
Well, I don't remember voting for you.
I joked, ducking to the side to look past the creature.
Come on, Diamond.
I thought.
Hurry up!
Waiting for that waste of space,
the creature said.
She's not going to be of much help to you.
A thick blue tendril erupted from the side of the thing. It reached back into the chamber. Diamond appeared on the other end of the tendril, rising in agony as she tried to pull herself out of the tentacle's embrace. A second tendril popped out, grabbing Violet as well. My eyes widened.
Violet!
I yelled.
Put her down! Star!
I heard shouts from behind me. I glanced back, seeing the others gathered behind me. I growled under my breath. This wasn't good. I couldn't let this thing get past me. I had to stop it here.
Every pony, stay back!
I called out.
This thing can't be hurt by normal means.
I turned around, facing the beast once more. Diamond was flailing in the embrace of the smoke, howling as she tried to free herself.
Diamond, Violet, stay calm. I'm gonna get you guys out of there.
I don't think so. These pathetic creatures are coming with me. After all, I'm a ghost.
The monster replied, waving Diamond and Violet about in the air.
Put them down,
I said angrily, using my magic to emphasize my point. The creature snarled, rushing forward at me. Tentacles poured from its side, slashing out at me. I flared my horn, batting at the tendrils with blasts of telekinesis. The monstrous thing chuckled wildly as it broke free. Violet struggled, her horn lighting up as she tried to get free of the creature's grip. Thunder flash whipped about in the air, firing down at one of the tentacles. The silver fire burned it away, dropping the green mare to the ground with a grunt of pain. I cocked my head in confusion.
Didn't those shots got right through it before?
I thought. Pushing the sword out of my head, I called out for my laugh.
Violet! I'm all right,
she called back, leaping out of the way of a second tendril.
Lilith, get me out of here!
The black mare streaked through the fight, snatching Violet up and carrying her back to the others. I sighed. That was one thing taken care of. The monster's eyes flared as it lifted Diamond up next to her.
No matter. This one will do just fine.
It said. Its mouth opened wide as it began to pull the other Elecon closer.
Diamond!
I shouted, flaring my horn once more. A blast of magic erupted from it, hitting the tendril. It severed completely, dropping Diamond unceremoniously to the ground below.
Enough of this. I don't care what you are not going to possess her again.
I don't recall asking your permission,
the thing said. It sprouted new tendrils, reaching for Diamond with half a dozen smoky extrusions.
Diamond, you have to get up. I can't do this without you,
I said.
It's too strong,
Diamond wheezed. She was trying to push herself up as another tendril wrapped itself around her barrel. The mare yelped as she was lifted into the air once more. Her horn tried to spark, but it was weak and fizzled out immediately.
Star, you have to trust me. You have to go. Just leave me. No, Diamond, I won't leave you. You don't deserve this, I shouted.
Diamond smiled weakly as she was lifted into the air by the grinning beast.
It will be okay, Star. This is the way it has to be,
Diamond said. As her body rotated momentarily to face away from the monster, she winked at me.
Yes, give in. See how powerful you can be,
it said.
Give in to me and be free.
No, never again, never again. I'll bury you before that happens,
Diamond replied, flaring her horn brightly. It simmered down a second later.
There, it's done. Star, hit it with everything you've got. Don't worry about sealing it into the statues, just force it back into the statue chamber. But what do you mean it's done?
I asked cautiously.
The self-destruct sequence. I activated the stable's self-destruct sequence. You don't have much time, so force us in there and I'll seal the door. I'll bury this fucking thing here and it will never hurt any pony else again,
the blue mare caroled. My eyes widened.
You did what?
I shouted. The thing holding her snarled as it surged forward, trying to get past me. I ignited my horn again, putting up the best shield I could possibly think of. Shining Armor's shield spell flared into existence, stopping the beast cold in its tracks. My horn seared with pain and I grunted as I forced the shield forward, pushing the pony-shaped monster back down the hall. I gritted my teeth, feeling the shield begin to falter as I finally managed to get the two into the statue chamber. Diamond grinned as her own horn flared.
I'll take it from here, Star. Thank you so, so much. You freed me from this thing, she said softly. I wish we had more time to get to know each other the right way, but one cannot change fate. The nightmare's grip on me was my doom, and my grip will be hers. Now get, you silly pony.
I put up a hoof as the door slammed shut and my shield disappeared. A rumble echoed from above me somewhere.
Diamond!
I shrieked, pounding on the stone door as hard as I could.
Diamond, no, you can't do this, please!
You don't have much time, Radiant Star,
Diamond's voice echoed in the back of my head.
I've seen what the spirit of magic wants for this world, and it's not pretty. You are the only one who can stop her. You have to stop her. Please, this is what I want.
I sighed, tears streaming out of my eyes. I couldn't just leave her. I couldn't...
There's no time. Go!
Diamond shouted in my mind. Without thinking, I spun on one hoof, turning tail and running towards my friends.
We gotta go. Stable's gonna blow up. Okay, bye!
I shouted as I ran past. My friends looked at each other with wide eyes and pelted after me. She had done it. She had activated the self-destruct sequence just to keep that thing, whatever it was, from escaping into the wasteland. Thoughts of Diamond and her sacrifice whirled in my head as I ran. They drove me forward through the stable as it began to come apart all around us. They gave me hope that we would get out alive. Rumbling noises filled the air above us as we ran. The dull gray walls of the stable began to shift and grind under the pressure of the explosions that were ripping the underground complex to pieces. We had managed to make it out of the Overmare's office and into the atrium. The large hall was in shambles. Chunks of cement and metal pipe had fallen into the center of the room. At the far end, a massive amount of debris blocked our passage into the next hall.
What?
I yelled, my voice fraught with panic. I reached out with telekinesis, trying to move the debris out of the way, but there was just too much. I frantically began to move multiple pieces at once. The hall shuddered as a large slab of cement ceiling came loose from the ceiling above.
Star!
Nixie's roared, slamming into me and pushing me out of the way. The cement struck the ground, exploding into a thousand pieces. I pushed myself up, groaning. The hellhound lay next to me, whimpering in pain. Several pieces of cement were embedded in his side, blood pooled beneath his body. My heart sunk to my stomach as my blood went cold. I had already lost Diamond. I was not about to lose another friend.
Nixies!
I exclaimed, reaching over to hold on to him. He smiled.
Are you all right?
He said, wincing as he spoke. I nodded.
Good.
Nixies, stay with me. Stay with me!
I cried as he closed his eyes.
I can't. I can't lose another. Please.
The Hellhound's eyes fluttered open and he smiled.
It's all right. I managed to do some good, the Hellhound whispered.
Violet was next to us in a flash, her horn bright with magic.
No, you're going to be just fine, Nixies,
my laugh said, anger in her voice as she began to work. The pieces of cement began to glow, a soft green light emanating from them. The shrapnel disintegrated into fine dust. Violet's eyes flared with determination and power as she poured magic into the wounds, doing the best she could to close them up.
Danish, I need bandages and a healing potion, quick!
The cream-colored unicorn scrambled over to us, floating out the medical supplies. Violet took them, pushing the healing potion over to me. I glanced over at the others. They were looking out for any more falling debris. Another explosion ripped into the complex far above us somewhere, the room shaking and grinding. The dust settled, and I wondered just how long it would take for this whole thing to end. Diamond hadn't exactly specified a time limit, after all. I looked down at Nixies, floating out the healing potion and tipping it up so that he could drink. As I watched Violet work, I couldn't help but be impressed. She was so incredible. Her eyes flashed fiercely and her realization washed over me in that moment. This was what she lived for. Filing that in the back of my head for later, I tried my best to keep Nixies calm under her ministrations. The Hellhound beneath us sputtered as Violet finished bandaging up his wounds. It wasn't pretty, but it would have to do until we got out of this hellish place.
Can you stand?
I asked. Nixies nodded, pushing himself up. He smiled as he winced and held his side.
I'll be fine, Ministry Mayor. This is one friend that won't be leaving you anytime soon. Let's get out of here, he said.
I grinned.
I couldn't agree more, I said, looking back at the others. This way's blocked off. Any pony got any ideas?
We should probably follow him,
Lilith said, pointing at the next hall over from the atrium. A flash of pink substance was trailing down it. My eyes widened.
Cranky? Oh no, you're not going where I think you're...
I thought, dreading the answer that I already knew. Of course the donkey wasn't going to leave this place without Matilda.
All right, every pony, I'm going after Cranky. Violet, you with me. Every pony else, find a way to get topside.
I said.
There has to be an elevator or something that will take us up. Wouldn't it be better if we stuck together?
Patch said, cocking her head. Steeljack and Danish nodded in agreement.
Normally, I'd say yes, but if we're planning on doing what I think he's gonna do, he's gonna need my help to do it. Don't worry, we'll be right behind you.
I said.
Hurry up, then, Star. We'll hold the door,
Lilith replied, grinning. I flashed her a grin myself and glanced down at Violet.
Ready to go?
I said. She nodded and we took off down the hall, following after Cranky. The rumbling above us was getting louder now. I could only imagine how long it was going to take to completely destroy a stable this large. I prayed to Luna that there was a way out that was still open. The shifting and grinding halls gave new meaning to the word death trap as we galloped hard, trying to stay in Cranky's tracks. Before too long, we arrived at the medical wing. The ghoul had ripped open the metal doors to the infirmary, leaving them lying on the ground.
Cranky!
I called out, stepping into the medical bay. The secret door to Matilda's room was open. Cranky was inside, sobbing as he held onto the stasis tube. I moved into the bay. Violet stayed at the door, waiting for me.
I can't move her, not without turning the machine off,
he said under his breath.
She won't survive the shock.
I looked down at the donkey in the tube. She looked peaceful amidst the shaking and rumbling going on above. I hadn't had a chance to ask Diamond if she knew how to disable the lock. I reached out with my magic, taking hold of the device. My mind screamed as I tried to piece together how to open the tube. Eventually, it was too much. I fell to the ground, grunting in pain, my horn searing.
Ouch!
I said, putting my hoof up to my horn. Violet was at my side within moments.
Star, she said. Are you all right?
I shook my head.
I can't open it, I said. It's too much. I can't break past the psychic lock.
I looked up at Cranky.
Cranky!
The ghoul was silent.
Just go then, kid,
he finally spoke. My eyes widened.
What? No, no, Cranky, I can't do that,
I said. Cranky sighed.
Kid, we don't have time. This place is coming down all around us,
he said.
You need to go. You need to find that thing, and you need to live.
So do you, I shouted angrily, tears in my eyes. You deserve to live too.
You called this living?
The ghoul roared. He was shaking now.
Have you seen me? I've lived for centuries. I saw the end of my world, the end of everything. All I want, all I need, is to be with my Matilda one last time.
I stared hard at the donkey. I started to say before Cranky spun around, his red orbs smoldering with intense anger.
Go, leave me. You don't have the time. You need to get out of here,
he growled. Violet tacked on me.
He's right, Star. We need to catch up with the others, she said, glancing up at Cranky.
He nodded. I stood shakily with her help.
I can't. I need to help,
I said, panting as I reached out again with my magic. Fire seared in my mind once more as the lock began to attack my senses. I fell to the ground again as the room began to shake and rumble violently. My love grabbed onto me and I felt the sensation of her magic washing over me. I grunted as I was pulled out of the bay. Cranky smiled at me as I looked up at him, tears making my vision hazy.
Kid, I gotta thank you. You made me see what was really important. I'll never forget you. Matilda won't either,
he said, turning back to the stasis tube. I heard him mutter, I'm here now, my love, under his breath as the medical bay shook again with intense force. Several large chunks of ceiling fell in front of the doorway, sealing the donkey ghoul and his soulmate away forever. I screamed loudly as Violet dragged me away.
Star, she yelled. Get a hold of yourself. If we don't get our asses in gear, we're going to be buried too.
I wasn't listening. I pulled free, trying to move the rocks away. Violet grabbed me, spinning me about to face her and planted her lips on mine. I melted into the kiss. It was forceful, angry, and electrifying. Violet pulled away, leaving me panting hard. My eyes widened.
Violet?
I said, shaking hard. Tears filled my eyes.
I don't know what to do.
Violet simply smiled.
We get out of here. We move on. We find Spark and we stop her, remember?
She said. I nodded mutely.
All right, then. Now let's get going. We need to find the others.
I stood, Violet helping me as I glanced at my EFS. I had a map now. Whatever had been blocking it was gone now. A green blip was right next to me and on the other side of the piled rubble. Two green blips. I sighed.
Violet, do you see it?
I said, shaking the tears away. She nodded.
Let's find the others. We're getting out of this hellhole.
I moved forward on autopilot, my love right at my side. I couldn't stop thinking about Cranky. The donkey had sacrificed himself and his chance at happiness to see me safe. Any second spent inside the medical bay further and we'd have been trapped inside with him and Matilda. I prayed to Luna as we ran, hoping that he and his long-lost love would find each other in the afterlife. They certainly deserved that much. The atrium was still in shambles as we moved through it, heading in what we hoped was the right direction. I kept looking at my EFS, hoping to see if the others would show up. They weren't appearing yet. We galloped into the next hallway, panting hard. Thankfully, there was no obstruction in our path. The stable continued to shake and rumble all around us. Grey halls flew by and I barely even registered where we were. All I could think of was getting out of this hellhole. My brain was running on autopilot. A second glance at my EFS showed several green blips up ahead.
Violet,
I said, breathing heavily as we rounded the next corner.
I can see them.
My love nodded, her expression firm and fierce. Shouting from down the hall brought me out of my thoughts. The hallway opened up and we came upon the others. They were standing in front of what looked like a large set of elevator doors. Steeljack was trying to force the doors open. Lilith spun around. Her eyes went dark.
Cranky,
she said. I hung my head low.
Violet stepped forward, answering for me.
He stayed behind. We couldn't get Matilda out in time, she said.
Lilith frowned and nodded.
I see, the Black Mare replied. Well, while you were gone, we found this door. We've been trying to get through it.
Patch stood by Nixis, who was sitting on the ground while Danish was hanging back near Lilith. The Hellhound looked better, but he wasn't out of the clear yet. He was still going to need medical attention, and soon.
Steeljack,
I said calmly, drawing the attention of the Grey Earth Pony.
Stand back, I will deal with this.
He started to protest, but nodded and stepped away. I reached out with my magic, battering away at the door with strike after strike of force. The door buckled under the telekinesis, finally giving way. The elevator inside looked old and decrepit, and there was no telling where it went, but it was worth a shot. I watched silently as the others entered the ancient elevator. I stepped in, glaring at the roof with a sigh. I focused my magic, intending to rip a hole in the ceiling to allow our escape. Violet poked me in the side.
The power's on,
she said in wonder. I looked. Sure enough, the little sign displaying the floor was lit. I pressed the button for the top floor, marked E for entrance. The button obligingly lit, and the metal box began to rise. I breathed a sigh of relief and then felt panic. Would this thing even go where we wanted it to? We moved up for what felt like forever. I could hear the stable ripping itself to pieces. The explosions were getting louder now, the elevator bouncing and shaking. The car suddenly lurched to a halt, grinding as a large boom echoed from below.
What happened?
Violet yelled. Patch bounded over to the control panel, ripping it off to look at the bots inside. Her eyes went wide with fear.
We lost power,
she said.
We're not moving.
She began pounding at the panel in anger. I put my hoof on her shoulder.
Patch, if there's no power, there's nothing we can do. We're going to have to do this the old-fashioned way,
I said, flaring my horn. I extended my magic to the elevator's frame, trying to push it upward. It lurched again, knocking me to the side. My telekinesis dissipated and I grunted angrily. Another set of explosions erupted from somewhere below us. They were getting closer. Steeljack had grabbed onto Patch, holding onto her as she cried into his shoulder. Danish was praying, to whom I couldn't hear. Lilith looked angry but determined to not let her fear show. Nixis seemed to be at peace, a smile on his face. Violet appeared to be scared, tears filling her eyes.
We got so far, and now we're going to die, she said under her breath.
I hung my head. I couldn't let this happen. I still had things to take care of. Spark, Lucky. I couldn't let my friends die. I couldn't let Violet die. I couldn't let Cranky and Diamond sacrifices be for nothing.
No!
I roared.
No, we are not going to die here. We are getting out of here.
I reared back into my mind, feeling around for some memory of Twilight that might help us. A stray thought brought a smile to my lips. I knew exactly what spell to use. My horn ignited once I had figured out the specifics, the magic taking hold of the elevator once more. The metal box suddenly began to rise at an accelerated rate. It shuddered as it sped up the shaft, groaning and whining against the metal.
What's going on?
Steeljack shouted as the elevator picked up speed and we began to float in the center of it. I grinned widely.
Gravity spell,
I called back. I had to hoof it to the Ministry Mare. Twilight really knew her stuff when it came to magic. The elevator shot up the shaft like a rocket, showing no signs of stopping.
How far up does it go?
I thought frantically. The explosions that were wrecking the stable had begun to diminish. The only sound now was the shriek of the elevator flying along its track. It was overpowering.
Star!
Violet yelled.
Why are we still going up?
I don't know!
I shouted. I tapped my horn, trying to cut off the spell. It wouldn't stop. My eyes widened as I realized there was a very real chance that the elevator was going to crash. Why wouldn't the spell stop? I had to cast it. I should have been able to stop it.
Shit, I can't stop it. We're going to...
Crash!
The elevator hit the top of its shaft with a catastrophic smash. The floor came up as the car deformed, squirting us out into the lobby. As I flew through the air holding my poor aching horn in my hoofs, the last thing I saw was Violet flying butt first out of the elevator screaming. Then my head hit, and darkness. I groaned, looking down the dark hallway. The white doors lined it just as they always had. I didn't want to be here. I wanted to be back with my friends. I sighed, waiting for the door to open. A simple swoosh sounded from down the hall, and a door made a violent creak in response. I pulled myself from the hard wood. I trudged towards the door, not wanting to really hear which of Twilight's memories or emotions I was going to be made to see. I pushed open the wooden door. I blinked. It was some sort of temple. It reminded me of the followers' temples in Fort Knowledge. Sunlight filtered into the room through the stained glass windows. Standing at the far end of the dais was three ponies. They were alicorns, one green, one blue, and one purple. They all shared the same cutie mark, Twilight's cutie mark. I stepped forward nervously.
"Radiant Star,"
the three alicorns said as one. This was going to be one of those dream sequences, I guessed.
"We are Unity."
"Unity? What kind of fucked up part of Twilight is Unity?"
I said.
"We are a part of Twilight that came from her time during the Goddess,"
the three said.
"We who have watched you for some time now."
"Why? Why me?"
I replied.
"Because you are special, Radiant Star. We come with a message from the One. She wishes for you to keep moving forward. Spark must be stopped,"
they said. I glared at the three alicorns.
"Oh, so she wants me to stop her now, does she? What happened to making a choice?"
I growled.
"Circumstances have changed. You failed in containing her. She is free to walk the outer world,"
the alicorns said in their eerie synchrony.
I'm dealing with that," I said. "I'm going to find her and I'm going to save her. The world still needs her."
I was frustrated beyond belief. Twilight wanted me to kill Spark? It just didn't sound right at all.
"Spark is dangerous. She will threaten all of creation. The One cannot intervene directly in this. Thus, she has chosen you to be her hoof in the outer world and us to be her emissary to you,"
the alicorns said impassively. That was the last straw. Between Nightmare and these three, I had enough of overdramatic alicorns.
"You listen to me. Tell Twilight that I'm not going to kill her. You hear me? I won't do it. Not while Lucky's in there too,"
I said, tears filling my eyes.
"I won't kill them."
"Spark may not give you a choice,"
the three said.
"Thou must remain vigilant, Radiant Star. The One only wishes to rectify her mistakes."
"By making me pay for those mistakes?"
I shouted at the alicorns.
"It's Twilight's fault Spark is the way she is."
"The One recognizes your concerns,"
the alicorns said.
"Make sure she recognizes this then,"
I said, turning away.
"I'm going to save her, you got that? Lucky, Spark, whatever they are now. I'm going to give them a chance. And then, well, Twilight and I are going to have a talk. A real talk. Not through this proxy bullshit that she keeps pulling on me."
"The One looks forward to talking with you,"
the three replied. I growled under my breath.
"Yeah, I bet she does,"
I thought as I stalked back out into the hallway. Things had just gotten a lot more complicated, it seemed. The weight of everything that had happened suddenly began to pile onto my mind. I had lost Diamond and Cranky and had nearly lost the others in the process. Diamond had sacrificed herself to save us, to save the wasteland from Nightmare. Cranky had chosen to stay with his Matilda together for the first time in countless years. I sighed, hanging my head low. I thought about what Unity had said. I was going to have to face Spark again, and I was going to have to be ready to save her no matter what. Darkness began to overtake me once more, and I waited for whatever was going to happen next. I groaned, feeling a hoof on my side as I awoke. My horn ached, a dull throbbing with crispy spikes of agony mixed in. I grumbled into the pain as I opened my eyes. Violet was sitting next to me, resting against my side. A closer look revealed that she had been crying. I sighed.
Hey,
I said, reaching up and nuzzling her clothes. Her eyes widened as she pulled me into a fierce hug.
Star, I was so worried,
she shouted.
You didn't wake up and we all were so scared.
Shh,
it's all right, sweetheart, I'm here,
I said softly. Violet nodded, pulling back. The others appeared to be sleeping soundly around us. A glance around me revealed that we were in some sort of office lobby. The dull gray walls of the stable were gone, replaced by black onyx pillars and shade of blues. The lobby was spotless, no debris, no rubble except what had been made by the elevator's violent descent. No skeletons even.
Where are we?
I think we are in Philly's tower.
It's definitely not the stable,
Violet replied. The ground beneath us was still rumbling.
That's been going on now for hours. That place must have been huge.
I nodded mutely, pulling myself into a sitting position. The experience with Unity had certainly taken out a lot of me. I still had a searing headache.
I don't know what to do, Violet,
I finally said.
I wish I knew. I wish I could fix everything. I could have saved Matilda. I know I could have.
I hung my head, feeling pretty piss poor about myself. I felt a hoof wrap around my neck.
Come on, Vi. Not even that is gonna make me...
My head shot up and I felt Violet's lips press against mine once more. It was a fierce and passionate kiss, one filled with all the love I was sorely missing. Violet pulled back and smiled.
It's okay, we'll figure it out. In the end, Cranky got what he wanted. He only wanted to be with her. I'd have done the same if it were you,
she said. I shook my head furiously.
But I failed. I let Diamond sacrifice herself. I nearly let Nixies die and Cranky...
I said, my eyes beginning to water.
I even let Lucky sacrifice herself for me. I was ready. I was ready to let Spark take me.
You were going to just let her? Violet said. I nodded.
But then Lucky intervened. She told me that it was her destiny, that she was supposed to help me when I would need it the most. I keep running it through my head, Violet. I should have been stronger. I should have been able to stop her,
I said frantically.
I'm glad you didn't,
Violet breathed.
Star, we can deal with Spark. We'll do what we have to do, but we need you to do it. I need you. Did you even think about how it would have affected me?
I did, I said softly.
I know that you would have been hurt, and I felt horrible for even considering it, but I didn't see any other choice. But now she's free, and all I can do is chase after her again.
Violet smiled and pulled me close into another embrace.
I know, it'll be fine, Star. You just have to trust me,
she said.
We'll get through this.
I sighed, trying to bury my fears in the security of Violet's embrace. I couldn't do it, but I wasn't about to let her know that. I decided to change the subject. It was logical, and there was something I had been meaning to tell her.
You know, I wanted to tell you that I was very impressed with what you did with Nixies,
I said softly.
You saved his life. I couldn't do anything but panic.
Violet sighed.
Thanks. I just sort of ran on autopilot, I guess. I felt like I had to. I had to save him,
she said.
I've never felt anything like that before.
I smiled.
I know,
I said, pointing to my love's flank.
If I had to guess, I'd say it has something to do with your cutie mark.
Violet looked back at the eye, rest in flames.
My cutie mark? What do you mean?
She said.
I think I know what it means. You told me once that you stared into the eye of a fierce dragon. That's what you do for your friends, Violet. For those you love, you would face down dragon's fire,
I said. I had a lot of time to work through this, and I knew I was right.
Your talent is protecting the ones you love.
Violet's eyes widened as the realization hit her. She began to tear up, and I pulled her close yet again. Quiet descended upon us, and I took a moment to glance about.
The others were still asleep. Violet, in her infinite love for her friends, had forgone her own sleep to watch over them. My love cleared her tears and pulled herself away into a sitting position.
"We should probably wake the others, figure out how the hell we're getting out of this place," she said.
I nodded and pushed myself up. I shook out, feeling rather rested but still uneasy. We were still in danger. Philly's tower was an unknown, other than the Minotaur. If the stories were to be believed, the tower itself was haunted. Violet went around our camp, gently prodding the others to awaken. I smiled gently at Steeljack and Pat as they got up and began packing up our gear. Lilith and Danish, it seemed, had somehow found themselves close together in their sleep and were now blushing profusely. I giggled, prompting the black mare to roll her eyes at me. Last but not least was Nixies, standing triumphantly. The bandages wrapped around his midsection were dirty, but unbloodied. Still, against all odds, he had survived. Violet had apparently been performing more healing spells on him since I was out, as he looked far better than he had down in the stable. I stood before him and bowed my head.
"I owe you my life and an apology," I said softly.
The hellhound coughed and smiled.
"You do not owe me anything, Star. I did what I had to do. You once called me friend, did you not?"
I nodded slowly.
"Then accept what has happened as a gesture of that friendship."
I will," I said. "Nixies?"
The hellhound raised his ears.
"I fear what comes next. Spark's out there, biding her time. I don't even know what she plans to do or where she's going. I'm frightened."
Nixies flashed a toothy grin and placed a paw on my shoulder.
"Fear not for the future, Radiant Star. Too much time spent on such thoughts will place great stress upon you. It is better to take your fear and channel it into focus. Focus your will, my friend. You will see this through, I know you will. And I will do my best to help you in your quest," he said.
I nodded, pondering the hellhound's words. I freely admitted that Spark's freedom, her physical form, what Twilight wanted me to do, it all frightened me. I was scared out of my wits over what the corrupted element of magic's plans were. All she had left me was a clue to find her where it all began. I didn't even know what that meant. A cough from behind us brought me out of my thoughts. I turned back, seeing Violet. She had Thunderflash hanging in her harness, and her beautiful face wore an expression of fierce determination.
"We are ready to go," she said. "Then we go," I said.
The stairs appeared to go up forever. They were dark black with hints of blue light shining through them. I groaned. We had quickly been able to ascertain that we were on the ground floor of the tower. With the defense mega spell still active outside, there was only one way to go. Up.
"Well, at the very least, we'll have some time to relax, right?"
Patch said, trying to break the tension building in the air. I sighed and nodded, taking the first step. It illuminated as my hoof touched it. I moved forward with purpose, and I wasn't planning on stopping until I reached some way out of this fucked up place. As we walked, an eerie quiet filled the air. It was too quiet.
"This place is a little creepy," I heard Danish say.
Lilith giggled.
"A little,"
she said.
"I think this place maxes out the creep scale."
I was inclined to agree with her. There was something off about this stairwell. It was the very definition of creepy. We reached a landing and looked up once more. I groaned again. I really hated stairs. If there was ever a more villainous thing in the wasteland, it was stairs. Violet gave me a reassuring glance as we continued moving. I had a lot to think about. Where were all the offices? Why were there so many stairs? I briefly wondered if Discord was playing with me again, but pushed the thought from my mind. No, the Spirit of Chaos wouldn't be that cruel. Sure, he liked a good game, but this many stairs? No, only pre-war ponies were that fucked up in the head. The next couple landings had doors that apparently led to other sections of the tower, but they were locked. I considered trying to open them, but I knew it would be fruitless. The only way I could see out of this was to speak to the Minotaur. The next landing, however, had a door that was wide open. Skittering lights gleamed off the walls beyond it.
"Do you think?"
Violet questioned. I shrugged.
"I'm not exactly sure how high up we even are," I said. "Still, it's worth a shot."
We moved into the hall, moving as quietly as possible. The lights danced along the walls as the hall opened up into a series of terminals sitting at cubicles. They were still active, it seemed. Their screensaver programs were responsible for the dancing lights. At the far end of the office was an unremarkable set of double doors.
"Help us,"
a voice whispered, tugging at my ears. I cocked my head in confusion.
"Did you guys hear that?"
I said. The others shook their heads.
"Hear what, Star?" Steeljack said. "It's quiet."
"Help us,"
the voice whispered again. It was coming from the doors. As the others picked through the cubicles for anything salvageable, I moved over to the two doors.
"Hello,"
I said quietly.
"Is any pony there?"
"Help us,"
the voice whispered, louder now. My eyes widened. There was something here. What was it? I pushed open the door. Beyond it was a white, circular chamber. In the center was a pedestal holding what appeared to be a silver crystal. I stepped inside, the doors closing behind me.
"Who's there? What is this place?"
I called out. I moved deeper into the room, coming closer to the pedestal. The crystal gleamed in the darkness.
"Help us,"
the voice continued.
"We need your help."
Something moved out of the corner of my eye. I spun about, growling and unlatching Stargazer. Violet held up her hoofs as I pointed my gun in her direction.
"Star, it's me, it's me,"
she shouted. I sighed, dropping the minigun.
"Don't do that," I said. "This place is giving me the creeps already. Sneaking up on me only makes it worse."
Violet grinned sheepishly.
"Sorry, sweetie. What the hell is this room?"
she asked.
"Not sure,"
I said, running my hoof over the crystal sitting on the pedestal. A film of dust came away from it.
"Whatever it is, no pony's been here for a very long time." "I don't think there's anything else on this floor," Violet said. "We didn't even find anything good in the cubes. And we can't get any of the terminals to come out of their screensavers." "We should probably head back to the stairs then," I said as we moved towards the doors.
I pulled on the handle with my telekinesis, but it wouldn't budge.
Violet, the doors won't open."
"What? What do you mean they won't open?"
my mare friend said, stepping past me and flaring her horn. The doors remained closed.
"Help us,"
the voice that I had been hearing said. Violet's eyes widened.
"Did you hear that?"
she said.
"You too?"
I asked.
"I've been hearing it since we moved into the office. It was coming from in here."
"Help us,"
the voice shouted. We turned around towards the source of it. The pedestal in the center of the room was starting to bubble an inky blackness from the top of it. It began to spew force, causing the silvery gleam of the crystal to disappear entirely.
"Star, what is that thing?"
Violet said, her voice shaky. The black bubbling substance spilled over onto the ground. I was vaguely reminded of the smooth, but it was the wrong color. The stuff began to grow, and what appeared to be a head began to rise out of it. It didn't have any eyes, and it was growling loudly.
"I don't know, but I don't like it,"
I said, unlatching Stargazer from its harness. I aimed, watching and waiting. A pair of legs emerged out of the black goo, followed by another pair. The vacant depression where eyes should have been considered us.
"Help us!"
A rasping voice erupted from the maw of the creature. It lurched forward, leaving black hoof prints on the floor.
"Violet, we need to get out of here. See if you can work on the door. I'll try and hold the thing off,"
I said. My love gave me a fierce glance, but simply nodded and moved back to the door. She began to bang on it, hoping to draw the attention of the others. I turned my attention back to the black thing. It was still moving towards me.
"Help you? Who are you?"
"We are lost. Help us,"
the thing rasped. Its voice was raw and harsh-sounding.
We're lost too, so what say we help each other? We can't get out of this place,
I said, chuckling. I hoped I could distract the thing long enough for Violet to make some progress.
You don't understand. We want you. You will help us. Feed us.
The voice broke into a shriek as the creature lunged forward, its mouth expanding. Silvery crystal teeth glittered inside. I growled, stepping back and smacking the pony form in the face with Stargazer. It reeled backwards from the impact, hitting the ground with a splat.
Violet, how's that door coming along?
I shouted.
I don't know why it won't open, and the others haven't heard me beating on it either, she called back. I'm gonna try something.
I heard her open up with thunder flash, the silvery light flashing in the corner of my eyes. The bubbling creature pulled itself up from the ground, gurgling as it lurched forward again.
No!
The thing rasped.
No guns! Feed us!
It launched at me, its jaws wrapping around my leg and catching me off guard. Pain shot through my body as the creature's maw clamped down. My leg sizzled and I roared. I shook the appendage, trying to dislodge the thing.
Get off!
I shouted, floating Stargazer around. Using the minigun as a club, I began beating the thing relentlessly. I growled, forcing my way through the pain. The creature wasn't letting go. Its mouth began to wrap around my limb, the black substance it was made of flowing over my body like slime. My horn flared and I reached into the back of my mind, trying to find some way out of this. Telekinesis wrapped around the thing and I pushed my magic to try and force it off of my leg. A soft glow erupted from the creature and it slipped away, leaving my body as quickly as it had latched onto it. It squealed angrily as it tried to come at me again. A green glow found its way around me, yanking me backwards through the air before the thing could get close enough. I glanced back, seeing Violet. Her eyes were on fire and thunder flash was floating in her magic. A blast of silver erupted from the beam rifle, slamming into the monster. Smoking holes appeared where the fire hit it. The door behind her slammed open violently, revealing Steeljack.
Come on, he shouted, stretching forward to snatch Violet's tail in his teeth.
Violet's expression as he dragged her bodily out of the room was indescribable, and even with my lack in agony from the creature's bite, I couldn't help but laugh. I spun in Violet's magic as she slid out the door. As I rotated upside down, I saw the monster beginning to reform itself. It surged forward, growing massively as it charged at the door. I forced the metal closed with a flick of my horn as the thing struck with a massive thud.
No, help us!
The thing called from beyond the door. I flopped unceremoniously to the ground as Violet released me from her magical grasp. My horn flared, grabbing a desk from one of the cubicles and forcing it against the door to hopefully prevent it from opening. I panted, looking back at the others and grinning sheepishly.
Sorry, we sort of got locked in there,
I said. I could hear the thing continually pounding at the door. It was still calling out for help.
We'd better get going, this won't hold for long.
Without wasting a moment, we moved out of the office area and back to the stairwell. I groaned. This place was already proving to be one fucked up thing after another. Just what was that thing in that room? Why did it need help? What did it want? Too many questions filtered through my brain as we began to walk, a little more hurriedly now, up the stairs.
What happened to you guys? Danish said. One second you were there, the next Steeljack was banging on those doors.
I sighed as Violet explained what had happened. The others began theorizing on what the thing was while we walked. I wanted no more distractions. We needed to find the Minotaur. It was the only way we were getting out of this hellish tower. The stairs continued to flow upward. It seemed like we would never reach the top. We passed landing after landing, not daring to stop after what had happened. I knew instinctively that the Minotaur would be at the top of the tower. I wasn't sure how I knew, but the intuition was strong enough that I was willing to depend on it. After what seemed like hours, which only ended up being less than an hour according to my pipbuck's treacherous time function, we arrived at a landing where the stairs just stopped. A set of doors graced the far end of the landing. A sign on one read, Ministry of Arcane Science Radio Hub. A red light was on the wall next to them with a sign reading on air. It was dark.
Is this it?
Lilith asked.
It has to be,
Patch said.
There's no more stairs.
I nodded.
Let's go, I said. We've got a date with the Minotaur.